kasha that the Maharsha asks against the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, Simon Kaf Tes, writes that the mitzvah of Shalom Vidarshan, only to the Chagol of Pesach. That Pesach alone is a din of Shalom Vidarshan, but Sukkot and Shavuot don't. So the Maharsha asks, can that connect the case? But we get the impression from Rashi over here. We get the impression from Rashi that what? The Shalom Vidarshan applies to Sukkot as well. Shloshim Yom Kodem Chag, Shloshim Yom Kodem Sukkot, your Shalom, Lanyanim Chag, etc., etc. And that's why, presumably, there's Stama Lishma, that's why Sukkot Chadash is okay. Even if it's not explicit Lishma, and Mela, it's okay. That's exactly how the Maharsha asked on the Beis Yosef. So I had pointed out in Shiur already last week, I wasn't sure what the big kasha was. Maybe the Maharsha, his kasha is not right. Maybe sometimes the best way to answer a question mark is just, you know, straighten the question mark into an exclamation point. Does the Beis Yosef disagree with Rashi? Yes, he does. At the end of the day, you don't get the impression from the Beis Yosef that it extends to beyond Pesach, from Rashi do. So there's a machlokas, Mishnah Ferel, at the end of the day, you know, it's not such a big problem. After all, the Ran, and we'll discuss it more later, the Ran himself, both in Pesachim as well as in Megillah, seems to indicate that the halacha of Shalom Vidarshan is limited only to Chag HaPesach. So even if you want to say that the Beis Yosef is like an Akron, won't disagree with a Rishon, there are Rishon who seem to limit it only to Chag HaPesach as well. That was halacha number one. If that's the case, so we will, Mitzvah, get back to it in a few minutes, and discuss what's behind the machlokas. Why would I limit Shalom Vidarshan to specifically Pesach? And why would I extend it to Chag HaSukkot and Shavuos as well? Mahalach number two is what the Bach concludes with. The Bach, relatively lengthy Bach, not super long, but relatively lengthy. The Bach concludes that nearly the MS at the end of the day, really the pshat is that the mitzvah is only by Pesach and then the minhag really for Sukkot and Shavuot, which essentially is to say that the Beis Yosef is really right. There's only a halach by Pesach, and the fact that people were knowing to start early on is fine. And Rashi doesn't mean what Rashi means. Rashi doesn't mean it's about. Rashi doesn't mean there's really a halacha that you have to be shalom v'darshan by Pesach, anywhere besides Pesach, i.e. by Sukkot and Shavuot, because it may not do. And that's what Rashi is alluding to over here. Essentially, it would be the same as when the Beis Yosef in halacha number one, just for reinterpreting Rashi, not to be a halacha, just to be a minhag, and the svara will end up being the same as the Beis Yosef, and that'll be halacha number two. Mahalach number three is Rabbi Yashu. I got caught on this last time. I'll just clarify right now. Rabbi Yashu proves based upon a Gemara in the Avodah Zarah that the din of Shalom Vidarshim is limited to Karbanos only. There the Gemara says that the Gemara there asks the Kasha. Because the Mishnah in the Avodah Zarah says that you're not allowed to do business with going 3 days before their Chag, and maybe they'll use their money for the Karbanos, for their own Chag. The Gemara says, what's that? Goyim takes 3 days, and Jews takes 30 days. The Gemara says, yeah, Nachman Ami takes Jews a lot longer because they have to deal with Mumin. I assume it means learn the halachas of Mumin as well as check for the Mumin, but the checking for the Mumin certainly doesn't take 30 days. The Gemara elsewhere says it takes 4 days. Mishnah, Gemara, I forgot what it is. It's definitely what? It's a Mishnah. Yeah, in any event, so the sum up for 30 days, we learn the halachas of Mumin and we move on out. And the Dikas HaMumin itself is significantly shared, but we learn the halachas of Mumin for 30 days. So therefore, that's what the Gemara says. The Rav Yashar pulls out of that Gemara, you see that the halach of Shol and Vidarshim is, again, one could have learned it. What is the Rav Yashar's point? That you could learn out in this Gemara that what? Shol and Vidarshim is a halach in preparation for Karbanos. One could have disagreed with Rav Yashar and said that's just one of the goals of Shol and Vidarshim, but there are other goals. He says, no, the primary goal is Karbanos. And if that's the case, it should not only be limited to Pesach, it should apply to Sukkot and Shavuot as well, because the halachas of Mumin certainly apply to Sukkot and Shavuot as well. There's a carbon of Chagiga you have to bring, a Shlamin, in other words, you have to bring Tanai Lo Yeru Reikon, exactly, you have to come along with the carbon. Any more than one, there's three carbonos, and you need to bring carbonos on all the Chagim. So therefore, Sash of Yashav Midaraisa, the din of Shalom Vidarshan applies to all three Chagim, but Midrabanan, it only applies to Pesach. And Rabbi Yashin is the Daik in the Beis Yosef's Lashon.
What's the Lashon that the Beis Yosef uses that Rabbi Yosef is Medayik from? The Lashon is? The Beis Yosef has the following Lashon. He says, the Din of Merubin. In other words, it sounds like it's a halacha of quantity of halachas. You have to be Cholim Adarshim because there's so many halachas, which is different from the Mumin thing. So therefore, you see there are really two different types of mitzvahs, the mitzvah Daraisa and the mitzvah Darabah. Then Rabbi Yashim says, if this is the case, so if it's non hazeh, there no longer is a mitzvah of Cholim Adarshim in the context of Sukkis. This man has el chora, what should one conclude? That Beis Shammai's Chiddush is only about in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, which would be unbelievable, because if you would build the Sukkah Chadasha, should you require super Lishma, or is it just good enough Stam? What would the conclusion be? Stam would not be good enough. In other words, according to Rebbe Yashiv, there no longer is a din of Sholem Bedarshim Bizman Hazeh by Sukkis and by Shavuos, so no longer can you have a Sukkah that is just kosher, because Stam was built in the last 30 days. That should be the conclusion you would draw, at least according to Beit Shammai. That's how far as Rebbe Yashiv goes. He stops right there. That's his parents. I was thinking, this is a very strong question, which is, according to the Beis Yosef himself in the Shulchan Aruch, who believes that Beis Hillel accepts the din of Lishma, not mistaken, the Shulchan Aruch paskens in three ways to have a kosher sukkah, either Tom Shlosh Niyom, or Lishma, or being Mechadish Bodavar. If that's the case, so L'chor you have an unbelievable cash against the Beis Yosef, which is, If the Beis Yosef, like we just said, where Rabbi Yashiv learned from Beis Yosef, that there no longer is this man hazeh mitzvah of Sholem Adarshim by Sukkis, then l'chora stama lishma would not be good enough. You require an intensive lishma. Yet the Shulchan Aruch himself says stama lishma is good enough to Shlosh Niyom. We'll follow that kasha. It's a small little kasha where Rabbi Yashiv learned from Beis Yosef, that is a bound kasha. More, you hear the kasha?
Right.
What?
There is still the
Shulchan Aruch himself. In other words, Rabbi Yosef Karo offered more than one safety. He offered the Beis Yosef, he offered the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, you're right, it's done within 30 days, it's kosher. If it's done before 30 days, then you have to do one of two things. Either intentionally have the Shema, or be Mechadish Bodavar. But the implication is that it's Tokh Shlosh Niyom, is automatic Lishma. And the assumption is that's because there's a din of, at least the way Rabbi Yashim is learning, is because he agrees with Rashi and presumably thinks that the din of Shloshim Yom produces the Stamma Lishma. And the name for Stamma Lishma should be good enough, but according to Rabbi Yashim, it's not good enough because the man of death is no longer a din of Shloshim Yom. So that was without my problem with Rabbi Yashim when he went to the Yosef. I have two potential theories, and this actually people with the West, you hear the West so far? Yeah?
Why
is it the cat? Well, because the Beis Yosef might say that if Man Hazeh, well, the Beis Yosef may disagree with Rashi. The Beis Yosef may believe that there is this Man Hazeh din of Sholem Bedarshim. In other words, it's only based upon Rebbe Yosef's understanding, which is this Man Hazeh, there no longer is a din of Shlosh Niyom this Man Hazeh, A, and B, this a sukkah chadash is kosher because of Shloshim Yom. In other words, somehow don't learn one of those, but Rabbi Yashiv seems to accept both of them. Yeah.
Also, when you go through the reason why we do it, first he brings the reason of coming, and you hear coming. Even if you say that.
Well, that's probably what he means. But Dida of Merubin probably means coming.
But well, yeah, like, even if you want to say because of Korbanos, Shloshim Yom doesn't apply anymore. Is that part of the reason why
that's
still
fine? Fine, but it shouldn't apply to Sukkot, right?
Yeah.
Yet, you get the impression in the Shulchan Aruch that it does. Meaning, you're right, Dina of Merubah, when he says Dina of Merubin, it sounds like it's no longer Kabbalah says Manas. That's other Dina. What Dina Mother? Kameh, Hekshe Kalim, Hagalas Kalim, you know, making matzah. There's all sorts of much more complicated Dina. Most of us feel comfortable looking up Dalad Minim, you know, in the local store. Or building our own sukkah, we feel very uncomfortable cashing a kishah for Pesach. Stam. Of course, you're 100% right. But Lachai doesn't have a problem with Beis Yosef. So I just started two Terutz, and neither one do I love. But one is that maybe somehow you could limit the din to dafka to Beit Shammai. After all, Rashi limits it to Beit Shammai. So maybe only Beit Shammai is based on Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag Sholim Behilchot Hakag. You know what I mean? Maybe somehow Beis Hillel doesn't agree to that. And Shulchan Aruch passes like Beis Hillel. Again, I don't know why anyone would limit the din of Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag specifically to Beit Shammai, but not Beis Hillel. I don't know why you do that. Or potentially, you could say that Beis Hillel only accepts part of Rashi. But again, that doesn't mean the problem that the Marsha was bothered with. Maybe Beis Hillel only accepts part of Rashi. Maybe he only accepts the fact that there is Shloshim Yom, a halach to be Doresh. I'm sorry, that the Beis Yosef agrees part of Rashi, i.e., that you're supposed to be Doresh Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag for all three holidays, yet Stam Lashma might not be based upon that particular element. But again, if, in other words, maybe the Beis Yosef reads you should be Doshin even Lashem Chag, you know, like Rashi, just not Bizman Hazan, but nonetheless, Beis Sham, in other words, the halacha of Sukkah Chadasha is not based upon the Shloshim Yom of Darshim Lachag, but Stam, any other Shloshim Yom. And the truth is, Rabbi Yashav does allude to that next line when he says, Velule Divre Rashi, Hayinu Mefarshim Kipshuto, the Lashon Yom, Kvar Korov Lachag, Shiesh Hochacha Mimaisav, Shahava L'shem Chag, Velomitam Shloshim. In other words, the Rabbi Yashav himself says, well, maybe it's just that there is a din of Shloshim Korov Lachag, but that's not why it's Stam L'shma. Stam L'shma is not based on the halachas element of Sholem and Darshim, it's just based on Stam, it's in close proximity. Again, that's not the impression you got from Rashi, but maybe those are two ways of learning Rabbi Yashav. The fourth pshat is suggested that Rabbi Yashav Chanina Lifa Maizlish, we're going to call him the Rich Lam for right now, and he suggests that there's a distinction between Sholem versus Darshim, that Sholem applies to all three Chagim, Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuos, while Darshim, the rabbi's responsibility to proactively go out and be Doresh, is only on Pesach. That could be the Pshat in the Beis Yosef. No, you don't get such an implication from the Beis Yosef Pesach. If you do get an impression from that, maybe true from Rashi. What was our Diuk in Rashi? What was his Diuk in Rashi? And it just says, show a little bit not Darshim. Okay, what I'd like to do now is open up the world to understanding what this did is of Sholem and Darshim. We'll try to understand the essence of it, the mahus of it, and try to use our newfound ideas to link it back to all these sheikhs that we're not fully sure what this far is for. Okay. I think in order to do that, the machlokes, the Ran versus the Rashba, and the Ritva is very, very much fundamental and central. The Ran in the Sechus Megillah is discussing, or probably bothered with a different halacha, which is the Gemara actually has two similar halachas. One is Shloshim Yom Kodem Pesach. And number two is that you have to be Dorish B'inyan at the Yoma on the exact same Chag, which applies to Shavuos, so if you can have to perish that all. So the Ran wants to know, what's the difference between this Darshim and that Darshim? So what's the Ran's teretz that he writes in Megillah as well as alludes to in Pesachim as well? What's the Ran's teretz? No? What's it? Correct. The halach of Sholem and Darshim, Shloshim Yom, there's no chiyah to ask, and there's no chiyah for the Rav to be Dorish. But if there are two questions that come up in the base Medrash, or the Rav gets two shilas simultaneously, which one does he have to prioritize? The one about Pesach, because it's in Yana Diyoma. In general, there's halachis, but the priority is in Yana Diyoma. So when is in Yana Diyoma for Pesach? 30 days before. According to the Ran, is this din of Shloshim Yom a very limited or a very expansive halacha? Very limited. Who's the one who expands it all the way to many more examples? Yeah, the Rashba, certainly. The Rashba wants to know, based upon the Gemara in Moed Kam, the Gemara says that there's a halacha, you're not allowed to be masvid people. You're not allowed to eulogize. Do hespedim 30 days, shloshim yom, kon machad. So the Rashba was asked, va'amra, minalon dahi shloshim, today is manacher. Who told you there's a din of 30 days, mechapes? How do you know that you're not supposed to be masvid people 30 days beforehand? What's the Rashba's merits? Tshuva, the Rashba writes in Simin Kuf Mem, Shafir Kama makes a lot of sense to say, Dechol Shloshim
לפני המועד, אדם תורח לאסוף ולהכניס לצורך המועד אבל לא קודם לכם. בשלושה למחה, זמנו של מועד, כדתני, שלום בגוש ועוד פסח, קודם לפסח שלושה יום שהם לא שומעים פסח ראשון ומאזר פסח שני. According to the Rajba, not only is there a halacha of who to answer, but the halacha is extended at least until what? Not being masbid an oven. That's an extension of Shloshim Yom, Kor Lachav, Sholem Bedarshim. And the Rajba, I'm sorry, continues with the halacha of Bedikas Chametz, which the Gemara itself alludes to. Yeah, in other words, the Rajba extends this din of Sholem Bedarshim beyond the world of asking halachic questions to things along the lines of you shouldn't even be masbid an oven. Would you have made that connection on your own? What gives the Rashba the license to make such a connection? What's going on in his mind? And the truth is, Rishonim extend it further. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says that halach is supposed to collect money for most chitim also 30 days before. Where did that come from? Maybe from the beginning of Nisan, maybe from 30 days before. The Ritva writes, we've seen the Ritva Men Bav, that there's a halach that if you build a sukkah within 30 days of a chag, you make a bracha, shehechiyanu, because it's a chovah sukkah. Maybe this is the same sholem v'darshim. I think the Ritva writes preparation. So, there are certain Rishonim who limit sholem v'darshim, like the Ram, some who extend it much greater. What's behind this machlokas as to whether or not you would limit it or whether or not you would extend it? Although the Rashba doesn't mention all these examples, you get the impression you could extend many things from the Rashba. What's behind this map locus? Can someone come up with a good head for us to how to explain the love of Sholem Darshan? Two different ways of explaining it. One according to the Ram, and one at least according to the Rashba, but presumably the Ramah and the Rishba as well. Yes, Paul, what do you want to say?
Maybe it's a question of whether the 30-day time period is just it has halakhic significance, or if it actually just begin a Talmud Torah, like we did the other day.
Yeah. Talmud, one way to learn it is this a halakha of Talmud Torah? We pointed out, if you were the rabbi, where would you stick this halakha? Hilchot Talmud Torah or Hilchot, like Moedim or Zmanim or, you know, Hilchot Tag or whatever it is? I'm called Zmanim. But conceptually, where does it belong? The truth, we mentioned, the Ram doesn't mention either one, so that's kind of surprising, but not our topic right now. But maybe one can argue this is a limited halacha to Talmud Torah. Who seems to take that approach? The Ram certainly learned that this halacha of Talmud Torah, and even a very specific halacha in Talmud Torah, while the Rashba extends it to far beyond Talmud Torah. Hespedim has nothing to do with Talmud Torah. Building a sukkah has nothing to do with Talmud Torah. If you listen to the Lashon HaRashba, it's Kimad Mefirish in his words. Listen to these words. Dechol shloshim lifnei hamoed, adam toreach lasof lahachnis l'tzarach hamoed. That sounds like it's adin in hachana l'chag. It's about preparing in general. Lahachnis l'tzarach hamoed, toreach lasof. That has nothing to do with Talmud Torah. And therefore, l'chora, one can ask, what's at the heart of this din of shloshim yom? Is it a preparatory din? Or is it a comprehension din? Is it a preparation? In other words, the specific din of Sholem, Bedarshim, Hilchas Chag, part of the preparation is learning the halacha. Is it dafka learning the halacha in order to prepare for the chag, or is it all preparation? Does it extend beyond the rubric of Talmud Torah or not? That very well may be the machlokes in the Beis Yosef and Rashi, assuming there is a machlokes in the Beis Yosef and Rashi. What would Rashi hold? It's a halacha in preparation. And once preparation is on your mind, well, if you built the sukkah, it's stama you built it, in preparation of the chag. Mash'in in the Beis Yosef talks about, you know, din of merubim, where it's about learning the dinim, and only where there's a need to learn the dinim, would there be a halacha of shloshim yom kodem l'chag. And that's very much the didactic in the Lashon of the Beis Yosef. And it could be this chagir is proven that will be the Lashon of the Beis Yosef. If this is correct, you can also understand the bahag. Where does the din exist by? Only Hilchot Pesach. Why? Because it's about Dina Merubin, it's about Halacha, it's about knowing the Halacha. There may be a Minhag, but there's no Mikra Din, there's no such Din. What people are knowing to do, that's totally fine. And if they're knowing to start preparing for Sukkot 30 days beforehand, it may be enough to be Megala, his Kavana, his Das, Megala, his Lishma, that that stomach is lishma, but at the end of the day, it's just a minhag, what Rashi is referring to. But maybe right in the back, where the base goes to the shoot of that, that halacha in understanding the deen. Yeah, the back is not that much different. The question is, in the base of the Rashi. According to Rebbe Yashu, l'chora, what's the halacha over here? How do you understand it comes to the Lehadr, when the Rashi was getting Tidak Shloshim Yom? What?
He said, he thought it was time to action for my man.
Now, Rav Yashin believes with Daraisa, even for the regular Chagigah, you need Cholim and Darshan. What has he learned?
That's the Mahamaya. Yes, the Kerber Kabbalah for 3 days. But nowadays, no Kabbalah, you have this extra hint by
But yes, correct. But what's it rooted in?
Now,
the goal is to learn the halachas of mumin. It's actually based on Mikdash, the halachas of mumin, and knowing these dinim properly, which shaykh to all three situations. Shavuos, Pesach, and Sukkot. There's man hazeh, there's just dinim merubin, only by Pesach. So the answer is Chazal extended it, carried over din derabanan, even to this man hazeh. But according to Rabbi Yashiv, l'chora is a din of comprehension, understanding, along the lines of the Ram, less along the lines of the Rashba. Let me make two questions and move on lastly to this Rechab. Yeah, one, two, one. You're right. Meaning, at the end of the day, no one saying, well, at the end of the day, even if you say Halach and Talmud Torah, meaning it's not just, you know, meaning, when I say Talmud Torah, I don't mean to suggest that, you know, Chazal wants you to cover the Pesach. What time of year should you do it? Well, any time would be good. Let's just make it over here, since, you know, it's like Schneider could be at the park. And then those who believe, it's supposed to learn the Chumash every time. It's the best time to learn, you know, it's a Talmud, you should learn the whole Chumash. So they connect it to each parsha. I'm not suggesting that. Talmud Torah, it certainly is learning specifically for the preparation of these halakha, but it's Talmud Torah, it's preparing in the world of learning and not a general preparing. Maybe that's a sharp way of talking about the effect of learning. Is it general preparing or learning, specifically learning? And Rabbi Yashin should definitely be learning about these halakha, I'm suggesting. Yeah.
I think
the big sense
is
telling
Masha that there's something about doing preparation or not learning.
In other words, it's saying, nice to be there, you're saying that
everyone
in Israel needs to find a copy. I'm thinking about copying one of the
In other words,
I definitely think the way Yosh is learning is not that way. Lastly, the sheet of the Rechmal with Rav Yosef Hanina Lipa Meizlish. Again, he wants to suggest that there what? That by most Chagim, what? Sholim, by the Sholim and Darshan. I think there's two ways of understanding it. The simple shot would be, it's all about comprehension. And therefore, the Baal Bas has a responsibility when he needs to ask a question, he needs to go be Sholim. But by Pesach, of course, there's such a heightened level of needed and technicalities. Therefore, what? There's a second level, which is the Rav has to go out and start being Dorish. He has a responsibility to start being Dorish himself. It's not just where for the Baal Batim to descend, the child is going to be Dorish himself. That's one way to understand the Sheikh of the Rechma. In other words, the Svar is, again, it's all about educating the people, and the people think they need an education. So let them go when there's really significant need for them to be educated, so he has a responsibility to go out. Alternatively, maybe, I'm not sure how much I like this, but it's a little bit more of a lavish shot, is that maybe the Rechmam has really two levels over here. That by most of the Chagim, there's a halakha only of educating people, and therefore when people have questions, they have to ask the Rav. When the Baal Batim have a shiloh, they have responsibility to be shown. However, for Pesach, maybe, and this would be understandable, because Pesach requires a heck of a lot more preparation on every level, maybe there's two din in that. There's a din of Talmud Torah as well as a din of preparation. And therefore, it's because on Pesach there are two dinim, it's reflected both in Sholem as well as Darshan. Not great, because meaning at the end of the day, all you see is Darshan. You don't get
more.
Yeah, Lechor, the first shot's better. Lechor, the first mahalik is better. Hang on a second. Lechor, the first mahalik is better. In other words, there definitely are two different levels over here, but more likely they're about just quantitative gradations about how much one needs to know, and not qualitatively two different things. Lechor, the better pshat is to say that it's all about knowledge, and we need a higher level of knowledge to prepare Shoal and Doresh by Pesach. Lechor is the better pshat. The second one is more gishmak, it's more lumish. I don't think it's true. Quickly. One, you want to say something? Two, three, four. One. They're more halachas. It's the same idea. They're more halachas. So you guys, the Rav has responsibility to get up and teach. That's presumably the pshat. I like it to be more lumish pshat, because it's cool. But I don't think it's true for the particular case. Yes, please. I think it's about learning. In other words, the goal is to teach people Torah. Now, when it comes to Shavuot and Sukkot, there's no major things you got to get out.
People
just
didn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, well, it's preparing.
We're
going to go the other way around.
Yeah, that's wrong. There's some learning of teaching actually, but it's preparation for 70,000.
See, wants to go the other way around, which is to say that when it comes to, if there's a din of darshan, because of the chi of Talmud Torah. If there's no din of darshan, it's all about preparing. If you need a kasha, you prepare yourself. When I say separation, what I meant was preparing things beyond the focus of Talmud Torah. Rounding up the animals and stopping to talk about the chayim and, you know, building yourself and doing other things along that nature. It helps me to imagine that sending shalot forces one to learn that there's a din beyond Talmud Torah. And as long as it's Shiloh, that would seem... And all the Shilohs are about learning the halachas to do things properly. That's the meaning. Anytime... What? Yeah, they may be trying to prepare their kitchen, but the point is there a din that they're supposed to be halal? In other words, if they do prepare their kitchens, it's technically a way to get ready, but that's really the point of the myth of Sholem Adarshan. So how did you see from this Rechmau that there's a halacha that you have to be kashrut in your kitchen? It could be in the Mitzvahs they were, and I'm fully aware of that. That I agree to. But according to the Rashba, there are halachas beyond learning Torah that have to occur. Meaning you have to
build a sukkah maybe, or you have to, you know, or you have to stop teaching, you know, stop doing hesbedu because it's the holiday season, meaning it's like quasi holiday fever in the air. Again, they may be doing that, but that's what there's a chiyuv to do it. Meaning, is there a chiyuv to start cleaning the kitchen, talk shalosh and yom? I don't see that in the sheet of the Rechmaneh.
They really showed that, yeah.
That there's a chiyuv, but it's just that they have done it. I don't know, because they're preparing. Look at my mother. She starts not the day after she starts cleaning her house. There's no chiyuv to do that. She's not. I don't know. I'm gonna learn. I hear it. And again, intuitively, if there are two levels, I like to say lumbish shop. I think over here, it's not being a tactical shop. People want to learn like Svi and like really want to argue also. You know, I'm willing to listen more, but I don't think it could be that such a thing is true, but I don't see a heck of it for it. Yeah, Keith, what do you want to say?
Avanas
only.
Yeah, I hear.
In other words, Rebbe Eliashiv's Chiddush is definitely a big one, and it's not well rooted in the words of the Beis Yosef. You know, there's no illusion that Rebbe Eliashiv, you know, found, look at these words in the Beis Yosef, look at what they really mean. It means not the Beis HaMikdash. You don't get that. His proof comes much more from the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. But Eina Chinam, you know, that's right, I hear that. Yes, sir.
So
you want to work with three more?
Yes,
go for it.
I was saying that maybe we're trying to not focus on general people, like general population. We're focusing on what the rub of a community must do. We're saying,
okay.
So he has an obligation to help everyone prepare, but it is beforehand for every single project.
See, I don't know if that's true. I don't see that. Where do you see his responsibility? All you have to do is answer the questions when they ask. In other words, you get the impression that people have responsibility to start asking questions at this time of year. Right? The nearly that Beis Yosef al Karchav Rak Savar Shachacham Enu Mechuyev Lidrosh Beshar Regalim Aval Al Kapanim Al Hamon Am Chal Chiyuv Lishol Midinim Halalu Shlosh Miyom Kodem. What's the Chiyuv? Chal HaChiyuv Lishol Midinim Halalu. You don't get the impression they have a chiyuv to prepare things beyond anything more than l'shol midinim halalu. I don't think he's saying more than that. Meaning, just again, it could be someone would say that, and I'd love to hear such a svara.
Maybe it's different separation from those two levels in the sense that you have to know. I
don't see anything more than chal hachiyuv l'shol midinim halalu. I don't see anything more than there is a responsibility to ask about the dinim. It could be, you know, when you start from kashering in the kitchen, not a sheriff passed that, but the 39 years before, and you gotta, like, no, well, you know, what path do I have to cash? You have to, I don't know. Okay, right, so let's work on the next video here. We had mentioned that. According to Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, there's a din that your sukkah is usher to, well, let's just say, the Atzei HaSukkah is Asurim Kol Shevat Yomim. What is the Atzei HaSukkah? People saw the Rush?
Yeah,
people saw the Rambam. What does the Rambam believe is Asur? What is
Rambam? What is Atzei HaSukkah? What is the word Atzei HaSukkah? Unfortunately, that was my black heart, because you guys can't say
it.
According to the Rambam, what does that include? What? The funnels and stop. According to the Rambam, it includes
the I might try to open up this studio and break into a real studio and more like tomorrow. New Rabbo said, you have to be mad for this machlokas. Let's start with that. What's behind this machlokas? What's the svar for each side? Who makes more sense at first glance? If you read the Gemara, which way did you learn the Gemara? Not textually speaking, because it could be either one, but maybe, or maybe there are textual lies, I'm not sure. But the svara, what makes more sense at first glance? Yeah, what do you want to say?
I mean, you say, well, according to Rosh, you said on page
5
and
page 8,
and according to the Rambam? According to the Rambam,
that's a textual proof. I want to know the svara.
According to
according to the Rosh, this, you get the impression that what really is not the Yikr. Yeah, we'll call it, in other words, Machlok is maybe what is the Yikr Sukkah. How do you understand what an Yikr Sukkah is? What is a Sukkah? Well, I don't want to use the word Yikr, because I'm not sure what you mean by that.
In Rosh, it's straight out,
it's
straight out.
I'm not. What do they mean? I mean, just, what is the Sheet of Harash?
She
didn't rush it then. The Sukkah is the Sukkah. Now, there, by the way, you can't just put Sukkah on the floor, so therefore what? Yeah, in other words, defanos, and there's halachic criteria how the Sukkah has to stay up. And essentially, the way you define a Sukkah is by the Sukkah. In other words, the Sukkah is the Sukkah, that's the halach, and all the dinim come out of there. Most dinim come out of there. The dinim of Elasa from Ben Hamasa. And millions of come out of the Sukkah and take you with the Sukkah. However, there are certain Tanayim in order to have the Sukkah. The Sukkah has to be properly located, and therefore there's other halachas, which means defanos, but the defanos' job is not to really be part of the Sukkah, but rather to hold up the Sukkah or place the Sukkah where it belongs. And therefore, you know, the defunos may have halachic criteria, like they can't be less than, you know, 10 tefachim tall, or they can't be, you know, more than 20 amos tall, or the staff can't be that high, or whatever it is. It could be a minimum of them, 2 at a tefach, but essentially the staff is the stuff. The defunos are just technical things that get you there. And according to the Rambam, what would the halacha be? L'chor, one could argue that according to the Rambam, the staff is part of the Sukkah, because the funnels are part of the Sukkah as well, and there are different parts to it. Mix. But just like the Dalvin and Lulav has certain Dinim, Neshrut has other Dinim, you know, so too the walls have some Dinim in the roof, and the Sukkah has different Dinim. Essentially, the Machlokes says, what is a Sukkah? That's one way. One doesn't necessarily have to be so global. I mean, your Machlokes is a very large Machlokes here, right? Now, the Machlokes is not just about any particular issue, it's a very large machlokes about all sorts of halachas all over the place. So if you're really right, and this and the machlokes, the Rambam and Rush, Rabbalfan had to find Sukkah, you'd expect to find Nashkaminas all over the place. And maybe you will. We'll see. Alternatively, how else can one be mad with this machlokes in a much more narrow, specific manner? How could you do that? Meaning much more narrow. Not as broad, not as far reaching, not as broad, yeah?
I don't think the Rambam is specifically
an argument about this. I mean, specifically an argument about the Rambam, that if Osir corrects the Rambam, perhaps, and if the Rambam, while that is all of their Rambam still. You can say something like that, but it's very little indication from
the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't make that distinction at all. The Rambam said both Osir and Mokzai.
Yeah, but he just says the distinguish between the walls and the sky. He doesn't put them all together.
I hear the point.
I don't think it's textually strong enough that I want to know the Rambam that way they wrote it. Now, it could be to, like, you know, work out some. There may be some Alfred Musessel in that. I would be shocked if there is. But the most simple reading around Rambam would not indicate that. I'm working with a different method. What else is one trying to do? Here's a good logical point. If every Rambam quoted about two variables, we spoke about this again before. If I want to know if Beit is strong enough to lift up this desk or not, the question is how heavy is the desk and how strong is Beit? In other words, there are two variables, and if there's a machlokas as to whether or not Deitch is strong enough to lift up the desk, well, then the machlokas is either how strong is Deitch or how heavy is the desk. We should the machlokas be shown about that, that's not going to be quiddity, but you have to. Now, point here is whether or not, what part of the sukkah becomes usher, or call it usher because of mukta in the meantime right now. The machlokas may depend, and if there's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Rush, it may depend on something much broader, like what Tim is trying to find. Well, what is a sukkah Or maybe the machlokas is not about as global as a sukkah, but somehow the issue is only about how much of it is most. Or in other words, the Rosh may have two major assumptions over here. Number one is that a sukkah is defined by the schach, and therefore just the schach is most of it. And those are two independent assumptions over here. In other words, one is about the nature of sukkah, number two is the application over here. The Rambam can now argue about the Chora, either one of those two points. Maybe the Rambam would argue very globally and say, no, the sukkah is not a schach, the sukkah is both gam, the gam. Now the Chora, the schach, and the bifanos. And this is a bench of kids, which is one to suggest. Although maybe one can argue, no, the Rambam agrees, in Hachinami, you're right, that for most halachas in the world, the sukkah is defined by the schach. However, for some reason, the eifei hasukkah, some reason muksa carries iser beyond the iker sukkah, or the schach itself, it carries even to the defines. In other words, maybe it carries things to, well, in other words, where Rechaim, is being called the mitzvah sukkah. In other words, any part of the sukkah which is used to make the sukkah kosher, any part which is critical for the mitzvah. In other words, it might not necessarily be how you define the igur hasukkah, but it could be, you know, this particular, not only about this particular din of mitzvah. In other words, if I want to know, does mukta apply to which parts of the sukkah, well, maybe the problem of what is considered a sukkah, or maybe everyone knows what a sukkah is, the question is just how to apply the principles of mukta. There will be a lot of maskaminis to this machlokas. We'll discuss some of them in great length, and at least in more length, tomorrow. One second. Yeah. We'll take a look at the Reb Chaim inside. Reb Chaim's lush is very much mashed like this. We'll take a look at the Reb Chaim. Doesn't mean the Rambam is making a revolutionary revolution, but rather just extends the din of muksa all the way through. We'll have to explore this a little more in Mibs Hashem. One second. I think I'll put quickly questions, then we'll try our best to open up the subject just a little bit more for tomorrow. With two major issues I want to discuss. Yeah, one, two, what do you got?
If it's just the schach that are usher, then wouldn't that make the defanot also usher? Because we're seeing that the defanot get more significance from the requirement for the schach to work. So in the defanot, if you do something with the defanot, that will probably affect the schach.
Well, maybe not. Let's just say you have three walls that are holding up the schach really well, and one wall that's, you know, much lower. Could you play around with the fourth wall? You with me? There's also some hazy pins that you can come up with. If you have one of those canvas, you push it in and out. You know, whatever else the potential requirements may be, and how they work. You know, yeah, we got that.
Well, the puppy goes to the silver, and I goes to the item and
so that sounds like what you wanted to say, right? In other words, what is a sukkah? Well, it could be, when the pasuk says chag sukkah, it means whatever things are needed to make a kosher sukkah, that becomes milk. I could imagine such a drasha.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah. I didn't mean that to be too real, sukkah that way. But if you took it the root when you rolled it up your back and thought it was funny, I didn't mean it that way. Yeah.
Is there a difference between what you put out and what you want to
try? No, it's not a kishah. It's totally different. Let's analyze the problem. Tomorrow, we'll discuss this in greater length tomorrow. I'd like you guys to analyze the following question, right? Analyze the following question. This is about the thing that I should get my apology credit for anyway. If like this halakha that you have a sukkah yishana, and that's in the Chadish Lodah, which by the way, many people accept. Who? Leave that for, I don't know, all the shiur mitzvah now. But if they point to the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah, whoever else, who believe that you need a sukkah of the Shema, if it's Tov Shlosh and Yom, the sukkah of Hadasha, automatically it's the Shema. Let's take the sukkah of Yishan. If it was made the Shema, maybe you'll pay anyway. Let's say it was not made the Shema, so there's a lot that should be Mechadish Bodav. Which part of the sukkah requires Chiddush Bodav? How would you analyze that question? Could you be mechadish in the schach? Presumably. Could you move a tap on the schach? Could you have a tefach in a wall? How would you analyze that question? Now we're going to try to work it out. According to the Rambam, according to the Rush, we'll throw in the Bahag from last time. And the first thing we'll do tomorrow, we and Shem, is analyze where Chiddush has to take place. That'd be number one. Number two is the Sira between this Gemara versus the Gemara both in Beit Zahar and Shabbos. Let's take a look at the Tosafot. We'll read the Kashi inside. The truth is to read both Sirus and skip it. Have you saw Tosafot inside? A few. Minayin. So we will, we'll start reading the Tosafot now. And the tough parts, the parts we have to look at the Gemara in Beit Zahar to know what it's talking about, we'll skip those and maybe Hashem will work on them tomorrow. Let's take a look at the Tosafot. Minayin la'itzeh esoka shasirim kol shiva. Shui, you want to read? Good. So what's the first thing Tosafot did? He drew a conclusion, which is? Exactly, this din is a din d'araisa, correct. The stah, it's asr, or not the stah, I should say. The ate hasukah are asr and d'araisa. Okay, and continue. Yeah, Shabbos candles are muksa machmas mitzvah hukul mitzvah. So, and that sounds like the classic din of muksa by kol tarkul, which is a din derabana. Most muksa is also derabana. Most muktzah is muktzah d'rabbanan, and this can indicate the Gemara seems to compare, bring a riot for Rabbi Shimon. We'll take a look at the Gemara on Shabbos tomorrow as well, and you get the impression that this type of muktzah sounds like if you're comparing the two, you bring a riot from one to the next. You're comparing muktzah l'mitzvah of Sukkah, you bring muktzah l'mitzvah of Ner, and Ner is d'rabbanan. Presumably, what else is d'rabbanan? Sukkah. That's the conclusion. Yeah, Mahad Tanya. Good. Continue.
Maybe
the
nice to Russia.
Nice to
Russia.
You have two gemaras that seem to indicate that the reason why the Atzei HaSukkah are usher is because of Mukta Darabana. And from over here, you get the impression that it's Mukta Daraisa. So how do you resolve such a kash? How do you resolve such a contradiction? Such a steal? Is it Mukta Daraisa or is it Mukta Darabana? So Tosfos quotes two answers. The first answer is Yesh Lomar. He leaves it blank. However, on base, that he attributes it to who? The Rebbe. What's his first answer? He had Shuv Yesh Lomar. Exactly. What's Tosfos' first character? We'll call it the Rebbe.
Tosfos, whatever you want. Where is the Daraisa? Where is the Rebbe?
When the sukkah is standing up and functioning as a sukkah, then it's asr midaraisa. Midaraisa, when it falls, it's no longer muktzah. However, the rabbanim made a muktzah. The comparison, according to Tosafot, according to the Ri, is a comparison between when the sukkah fell to the Shabbos candle. We'll take a look at the Gemara then more carefully, and we'll go into the Dosa. Then Tosafot says, we'll skip a few lines in Tosafot, go down to the Rabbeinu Tam the Farish. It's five lines down, the last chubby line on the line. Right after the word of the T-Rate. The remaining time has a different text. Make the Shem tomorrow, we'll try to catch all these pieces in the middle. I'm going to get every sheer and have to work it through it. I'll help you in the base language if you need. The remaining time the Farish, what does he say? Continue, yeah?
Today
have Shem Soka. Chai Lo Kedu Shalayu. Yeah. So what's the Rebbeinu Tam's teretz? It's not a teretz of standing versus falling, but rather
up to the
shear of a kosher sukkah is midaraisa. The shear and on is midrabbanan. Now, the part of the process that we're skipping, in terms of making a laying out of Tosfos and working through a word that maybe come back relevant later on, maybe Hashem will have time to work on tomorrow, but just what issues would you want to raise on this Tosfos as of right now if you read this Tosfos? What issues would you want to discuss, you know, after this Tosfos, what topic would you want to raise, what issues would you want to address, what points would you want to make? Maybe Hashem tomorrow we'll discuss these two topics. One is the Chiddush. This is Ari Cheskia's question. How and when and what to be machadish? And here's number two, a bit of time to read. What do you want to address?
It's a process can't really align rush
that well, yeah, I would take a step back and address the issue before you try to solve it. What issue would Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, are they subcategories of the rush or subcategories of the Rama? Meaning, the real question is, how do they fit into this larger picture? When the Ri speaks about it, he's talking about the Schach, when it's up, it's Daraisa. Or when the Schach falls, it's Darabonah. He's talking about the Schach and the wall, when they're up, it's Daraisa, when it falls, it's Darabonah. And similarly, Rabbeinu Tam, when he believes the bare minimum, is he referring to what? The bare minimum of the Schach, or he's referring to the bare minimum of the Sukkah as well. From the words of Tosfos, can you tell? No. From Tosfos alone, I would not know. I'd have to entertain the fact that there may be two possibilities. However, I would continue doing my research. And what's he talking to Mesa?
Yeah.
What does Tosfos Mesa say? Correct. Crystal clear, he's talking about the wall. And so, Tosfos Mesa and Abraham and Abraham writes as follows. Exactly. Tosfos over there, when he quotes the Rebbeinu Tam, he says, "If you're Rebbeinu Tam, the Mash Amar Machad L'Shem L'Shem, sorry, Machad L'Shem L'Shem Afsoka L'Shem Haynu L'Fi Shir Soka Kigon Beis Defanos V'Shlishes Afilu Kapa Aval Yavid Defanos Shleimos Yoter M'Shir Soka Then Lo Nafik Mikra Val Hayoter Kamash Asim Itamot." According to the way Tosfos in Beit Alert. Clearly, Rabbeinu Tam, and I would say presumably the Ri, are making a point about, are along the lines of the Rush or the Rambam, according to Tosfos and Beit Alert, the Rambam. Who disagrees and says that they're along the lines of the Rush? The Rush himself, as well as his son, the Tur, in his state of the Tur. If you look at the Rush over here, the Rush quotes the Ri, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, quotes the way our Tosfos said, and there's no real problem with that. The Rush isn't crystal clear, but I think this is the way to learn the Rush, and the fact that his son, the Tur, says to the Pharisee, even more so, reflective of this fact. Let's take a look. Take a look in the Rush over here. We'll start from the Yesh Lomer. In the old Rush, it's the first word on the line. He asks the Kasha, basically the same as Tosfos does. We're not going to discuss the Kasha part of it. So the Yesh Lomer, we'll speak to the Teretz over here. Who wants to? Who saw the Rush? Anyone see the Rush? Anyone see the Rush? That was just calling somebody. Call Mark. Yeah, take a look at the Rush. You got it from the Yesh Lomer? You got it like 6 or 7 words between that lamed and the brackets. The lamed that takes you to the carpet. It's not
real.
Yeah, I knew. Exactly. Yeah, here you wouldn't know either. Continue. Rabbeinu Tam Tirev. Exactly, about Hayoter. Right, the high. Exactly. About Atse Tefanos. Exactly, the Chol Madi Darshinan. The Chagasokos. Hayu Dafka Vizkach.
Ilkama Gab Sol is Gorin for Yarek, Loka Rambam Zal, who learns different Shukas of Shaykh, Sukha Surf, Kosh Shiva, Sir Shmur, Nechag, Menach Tifan, Menach Tishak, Mein, Neusa, Nehem, Zabrach, and Kolin Nechag. The way the Rush quotes it, he quotes the Rambam, he doesn't like the Rambam, he's like the Loka Rambam. He's like, there's a Machlokas, the Ri and, or at least Tosh, Zamba Beinka, which is all about the Tishak, and, you know, not like the Rambam, who believes it's about the Tifanos as well. And if you don't think it's Pesha and the Rush, although I'm pretty sure it is, but he disagrees with the Rambam, doesn't disagree with the Ri and the Bein Tam, the Torah is even more clear. You'll take a look at the Torah from Beit Hashem. And the question will now become, the issue number one is how does this fit in? And I think Kansas did a great job of shooting out the possibilities even before, you know, even before he saw them, he showed him. Excellent of him. What does Tosfos say? Tosfos is unclear. If you look at our Tosfos versus Tosfos in Beta, there's a small textual difference. Is it a significant textual difference or not? And the answer is, because Tosfos in Beta is crystal clear what he means. Does Tosfos here agree with Beta? Unclear. Whether Tosfos here is like the Rush or like Tosfos in Beta, the Rush and the Torah like the Mitz, unclear from our Tosfos. Sometimes it's even small textual points, if you say, well, that's good, Tosfos is really different basis. Sometimes you say, no, it's a fundamental difference, rooted in the fact that they have these small textual points, which are very different. But that's point number one, I think, and this is excellent, I guess. What else might you want to do on this sugya? Two more questions, two more small issues to raise. What's that? Standard Lundisha one is one of the brisker one, yeah? Most of that rice is probably not any classic color. Do I have one on that? We'll have to figure out. That's a fair question. Good. How much mukta is and how much asr is and what are the halakhas? Is it a mukta daraisa? Does it have the same dinim of mukta darabana? Or are there unique dinim? That's an excellent question. You're having time for that. We'll call it status shell mukta minhakar daraisa. Okay, that's fun to work out. So what else do you want to work out of this, particular thing? Maybe Alex has one there. Yeah, what else do you got to do, Sammy? What an Afghanin is going to be pretty big, I think, whether or not the standing part, which is less than the shear, could be an Afghanin. But I have a different question, the Lundishir question, which is, what's behind this Machlokas? What's the svar for a man and what's the svar for the man? Why don't they like each other? Why don't they answer the other way? And that question can be phrased within the world of Tosfos and Beta versus phrased with the Rush, but why didn't the Ri like Tosfos? And why didn't Tosfos, I'm sorry, the Ri like Beta Tam, why didn't Tam like the Ri? Why didn't Tosfos like the Beta Tam? Why didn't Beta Tam like Tosfos? What's the conceptual differences between them? That's another issue. And there's one small technical problem as well, which is the last problem, which makes sure we'll discuss hopefully tomorrow and the upcoming studies as well, which is why was the last major problem with Tosfos? It's not Mano Beit Tam. What's Beit Tam Shita? And how much of the sukkah is mokzo? The bare minimum. Yeah, exactly, Ken. When you walk into a sukkah, how do you know what the bare minimum is? Let's say we're talking about the way the Tosfos and Beit Tam Dr. Rami quotes it, which is the 2.5 walls. How do I know which are the 2.5 walls that are mukta, and which are 2.5 walls are not mukta? Or let's just say I'm talking about the schach. Hold on, I'm talking about the schach, and the bare minimum shear for a schach is probably, I don't know, 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. But if I'm living in a sukkah that's 20 amos by 20 amos, not height, but length and width, well, which part of those are the schach that became mukta? How do I know which part is mukta d'araisa and which part is mukta d'rabbanan? How does the Beit Tam know which part of the sukkah is the bare minimum part? Are you allowed to, meaning, is that really true? In other words, by the concept of elimination, you can choose which part you want to be mukta by the fault of not touching it? Maybe. You may be right, but like, I can imagine that being a possibility, but it's not like I'm convinced that the Pshat Tosfos, so I would at least ask the question. It's a fair question. Yeah. In other words, one option. Yeah. The question is, according to Beit Tam, you know, which is a
chelak from Mokka. Which chelak is Mokka? Now, it could be you can choose.
Yeah.
But I'm not thinking you're convinced that. I was able to mention it. I don't know, maybe. That's what?
That
we
open
the question. You can't differentiate between your question made half or question made right. Batirix, Rabbeinu Tam, Dimash Amr, Ma Hagra Hashem, Sokol Hashem, Hayu Fishir, so if you go based on one of the Shlish and Afilu Kepa, about the Avid of Bano Shlemos, you'll carry Shigur Sokol, lo nothing be grow. Val Hayot, their Farmish of the Ambo, in the rest of them. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam, you'll be the ring. Barim, Pirish, the Vadai, called Manchah, Sokabam, Nibashai, from Ma Hagra Hashem, Sokol Hashem, about the Shinokwa, lo Shaikwa, Mahag Kulay Bikain Haya Yoko Kalunseha Ma Ate Suka Asura de Krugel Mahag Hai Pishiva Mida about Pishinakunikar about Naka Hamas Pishinakunami Asuri Tan Mukta, presumably the Rabbi. I'm not sure if I've been asked to talk about it. Good thing, look, we'll discuss more. We got a whole day mission to discuss it. But I think it's a fair question that Sammy's asking. What part is really awesome? How do you know which section is the Muktzeh D'Oraisa part, and which is not Muktzeh D'Oraisa, but only the rabbi did Muktzeh D'Oraisa, according to the Rebbeinu Tam? This is a question of Shad Rebbeinu Tam. Tomorrow, we're going to work on these topics. We'll have the purpose for them, but you should be thinking about these issues, because these are the issues that we want to deal with. How do you handle Chiddush or other halachim? According to Machlokes, the Rosh versus the Rambam, number one. And number two, how do you handle this machlokes, the reiterated time, what Sanchez did was excellent, with excellent textual clarity that he noticed, which happens to be subject to a machlokes, the Russian Torah versus Tosfos and Beit Zeil. We'll try our best to jump into the lumps of that world tomorrow as well. All right.